Hey, what's up? This is Martha D. Staub, owner of MDMC Entertainment, and I'm here with another episode of Business Building and Beyond. Today, I honestly just got back from Rhode Island and New York last night. I'm jet lagged, so I woke up extremely early and got a lot of stuff done, and now, for whatever reason, I was like, I should film today. And then I had this outfit in mind, so I did my makeup, and then a memory popped up on my feed, and I was like, oh my god, I gotta make this into a reel today, because then it would make sense tomorrow, because today's an anniversary. So it turned into a whole thing, and so I was like, all right, let me do this, and then it took way longer than I expected it to, and then, yeah, so then it took me way too long. It's up on there on Instagram now. If you want to look at it, it's called 4 years ago. And so it kind of just recaps my entrepreneurial journey. It's kind of funny that it happens today. I mean, I just got back from New York and you know, I love New York. I love flying out there. I love being with my friends. And of course I was there for Rhode Island Comic Con. So it's sentimental when you think I don't know if anyone still uses Snapchat, but Snapchat is like literally my life in a time capsule. And so all I did was go back from that memory that popped up. And I was like, you saw my raw emotion 4 years ago. And I think people back then saw it, but I probably forgot. And so I just added those clips in, and then I like basically gave them a quick rundown of everything that I've done. And so it's like, wow, that happened 4 years ago, and when we're here, and now I'm filming a podcast. Like, there's a lot. I'm winding down this year, and I'm just like anxious for the new year because it's going to be amazing. But anyway, I wanted to talk about Rhode Island Comic Con. I'm not going to do a whole show on it, but I will just briefly touch on it. We are editing the video right now for the Dropbox for that specific show. We're going to have that content out for them. We're really grateful. Rhode Island provides us press passes to go in and capture everything that we can capture at the show. And we just had a fantastic time. And the talent pool was amazing this year. I was super happy to be there for that and to really get some new inventory for MDMC Authentic. So you'll be seeing that in our store very soon. So one of the things that Altered Reality Entertainment, who is the owner of Rhode Island Comic Con, is they came out with this schedule of what's coming up here soon. And it's pretty crazy because Altered Reality, they are, sorry, throw something real quick, but so they have always owned Rhode Island Comic Con, Terror Con, and Colorado Springs Comic Con. Now, the co-CEO has been going on and on about creating his own con. Like, I'm just like, you're dumb. It wouldn't work. And like, we talk about where it could and couldn't work and things like that. And I'm just like, ah, you know. And then I see Altered Reality, and they came out with like 4 new shows. And I'm like, you know, maybe I should reconsider this idea. It's a pipe dream. It's on the map of it's on the map of things, targets to hit in the new year. If we'll hit that target, God knows. I think you need a lot of money to make a con. And the fact that they added 4 more says a lot about how much money these people have. So it's insane. So yeah, Rhode Island Comic Con has been around for 10 years. They've been able to put that show on successfully for 10 years. I would love to see their numbers. Oh my God. I would have a field day with the numbers. But anyway, so they added on Contropolis, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, and they also added Rhode Island Anime Con. And then that's also going to be in the convention center. And of course, the top, the first three, the originals, the OGs, Colorado Springs Comic Con. That's in Colorado Springs in August. TerrorCon. And I've never been to TerrorCon. We probably need to because we have people that, we have a large horror fan base that follows Authentic. So we could get some more stuff for that. And then also Rhode Island Comic Con has just become a staple. It's just, this is the time of year I'm usually in New York and Rhode Island area. So I love being in that area. I love that they provide us with a pass. We appreciate it. And yeah, it's exciting. I also got my Starbucks holiday cup from there. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Anyway, so the topic for today is hiring the right people for your business. Now, oh my goodness. Now, hiring people for your business, I think it's one of those things that is hard because, hold on.
Hey, fuck face. No, get out of here. I'm filming. Get out. Out. Jeez Louise. Now I have to edit this video.
All right. So the topic for today's video is hiring the right people for your business. Now, this has been trial and error for me. It really has, because there are times where I'm like, there are times where I have really thought I made a really good choice and then I didn't. So I'll go back to a certain situation. Here's the thing about MDMC Entertainment, myself, and how I grew this business. You know, this was a side gig for, was it 4 years before I went for? 5 years. 5 years before MDMC's been, I say I've been on my entrepreneurial journey for about 4 years now. It's actually kind of not true. It's been longer, but I'm talking 4 years as like I have gone unsupported with a full-time job. Like, this is my job. This is where I get the majority of my income. This is what I live off of, because my full-time job is now my company. So I've been able to successfully run without a parachute. Or flop without a parachute. Fly without a parachute? I don't know. But anyway, when I came to that point to come out and do this thing of, and it's, I guess it's kind of fitting because of what today is, but when I started doing this on my own, I have attracted a lot of attention with who I was working with. Because MDMC was, of course, a side hustle, and of course, I was traveling a lot. A lot of the traveling I was doing before I made this my full-time gig, I was actually getting paid in plane tickets and hotels to take talent to shows by another agency that I was working with. And I still work with them, actually. In fact, they're one of our clients, which is kind of funny. You know, it's a weird circle of life moment for me, but I'm very, very happy and very blessed I got those opportunities. But I got those opportunities because it was what happened. It's what I built towards. I met this person at, believe it or not, Paramorphicon. I've never been to Ranger Stop. I don't know why I said that. But I went to Paramorphicon and I was introduced to this agent who then got me into the fold with all of these other people. So I started going. While I was doing a 9-to-5, I would take just unpaid days off and be like, hey, I can't be here this day. I can't be here this day. Or I would use my sick, well, not my sick leave, but my POV. POV? No, that's point of view. Paid leave, whatever. My paid days off. It's been a minute since I've been in the corporate world. but my paid days off, I think, which was a total joke when I worked my 9-to-5 job, I got 5 days off. And I was like, that's it? I only get 5 days? Are y'all insane? And at the last job I worked at, the company before then, you know, they gave me, I think it was three days off the first year I worked there. And then it went to 5 the second year. And then the third year I got 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks. Was it 2 weeks? Something like that. Yeah. So I was like, so when, how long do I have to put into this to get 2 weeks paid vacation? And they said 5 years. I'm like, ooh, I'm like, that's a problem. And that was, and I think that was right on the cusp of people wanting to have that work-life balance. And that's something I desired greatly. Cause I was like, man, I wanted to have like a 4-day work day. I wanted to have, you know, come in at 10, leave at 4 type of deal. Like, you know, like the things that I do for the company, like, does not require me to be there that long. And so I remember I was trying to, not with that last company I was with, but I was like, man, that sucks. Like, I was like, this cannot be right, but whatever. I took the job. It paid me a little bit more. So, and then of course, you know, during the holidays, you know, you have family. They're like, well, why can't you come visit and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, guys, I only get this much time off. I'm going to spend it doing something fun. And my mom was, I guess, while I'm talking shit about my in-laws, but my mom was like, look, you get that many days off. Don't come and see me. Go do something else. Go travel. Go do whatever you want. And I was like, all right. So she wasn't the one that was bitching to me about it. But but nonetheless, I don't know. Paid leave sucks. But anyway, while I was in the middle of this conundrum of I need to go to all these cons, I need to, you know, take the talent, how do I get the time off? And so what I was like, hey, look, you know, there was a time I actually worked weekends to make up for those days that I was going to be gone, and I got paid for them. I was like, could we work out that sort of deal? And that lady was like, yeah, sure. So I did that one time. And then the rest of the time, I was like, I just won't get paid for it. So my paychecks are getting smaller and smaller. I was like, damn. But I was like, this is all building towards something. You know, I think every time that we get to a point where we're just like, it's building towards something, like, you just got to be hopeful, right? So at that time, I was garnering quite a bit of attention with what I was doing, who I was working with, things like that. So when MDMC set sail to be its own, like my one true thing that brings in all my income, I had people reaching out saying, hey, do you need help with this? Do you need help with that? I was like, no. And so one person came in and said, well, you know, I've owned an agency and I've been successful at it. I'm like, really? And I was like, how many clients do you have? Well, not many. And so I was like, so what can you bring to the table? And at that point, we were talking about doing this, like, in a way, I kind of wanted to expand in that area, but this person had a specific skill set in one area. And I'm like, you can't offer my, like this turned into a very, very interesting situation. Very quickly, basically. Well, not very quickly. It took a while, but I started to see through what the true intent was. And so this person came in, hat in their hand, saying, oh, I can help you. And then I realized, well, you can't, really can't. And they're like, well, I've owned an agency. Well, I'm like, I just started, but I'm already far more successful than you are. What are you doing? And they were like, well, I don't have much right now. And I said, okay, then how have you been? Like, I could never get the answer as to why do you not have business right now? And they wouldn't really elaborate, but they wanted to partner with me. And so, a long story short, they wanted me to pay for an office in their area. They wanted me to connect them with all of my connections. And wanted me to get them to travel for free everywhere to wherever. Like if I was going somewhere, they wanted to go with me. They wanted to basically take everything I have created. And I didn't realize at the time what I had in my pocket until someone else wanted to steal it. And I'm like, no, no, that is not going to happen. I am not paying for this. I am not paying for that. You're full of shit, dude. And I think part of that was, you know, they were like, well, I have this business and I have this agency and I also have this other thing I'm doing. And I'm like, first of all, like, you know, you can't come to me and ask me to pay for your office and run my logo in your area. Now, first of all, now, if I think anyone knows, if you're terrified of someone taking over your company, I think McFounder is a fantastic example. The story of McDonald's and how the real owners of McDonald's lost their company. And ever since I saw that movie, I was like, nope, I will die with this logo on me. To hell or high water, I would never let anyone come in and do stuff. And so, but my worry was, all right, this logo is leaving the state and it's going to another state. And they want to find me clients to support this person and their office and everything else they're doing. And I'm like, if I can't do that for me personally yet, why would I do that for somebody else? And so it came, this thing came, and this person was with me for a while, but like I told him, I was like, you don't know marketing. You don't know like social media. You don't know, like, I'm like, how are you supposed to help me? And so what do you bring to the table? And so I was like, because I considered it for a minute. I was like, you know, I could have some eyeballs out there. And I was like, you know, that might work. But it just didn't, because it just didn't. I this person came to me just wanting to take what I had. You know, I remember I was talking to my agent friend who wanted me to travel to Boston and take care of a client up there, a high-end client, I guess, going to Ace Comic Con. And my quote-unquote work partner was like, well, I want to go to that. I'm like, you going to pay for your way? I was like, no. I was like, sorry, you can't come to this one. And he was like, well, why not? I said, well, this is another agency's thing. I'm actually working for the other agency. I can't take you to that. Like, I'm there to work into this. But he's like, but let me shadow you. Let me go. I'll pay my, you know, if I have to pay my way, I'll pay my way. And I was like, yeah. And so I was like, no. And then COVID happened, and then, you know, things just kind of shot away. But, you know, I did have this person, I did fly this person out to LAX Fan Fest. I did pay for one flight and a one night stay at a hotel. And I'm glad that's all I lost in that deal, because it was a buzz. It was a loss. I knew this person from a long time ago. I had been talking to this person on and off. And then I flew this person out to a show, I won't say what show, but I flew them out to a show that I was working and doing. And I was like, all right, you can do this one, because this actually has MDMC slapped all over it. And this was a great time for myself and the co-CEO to kind of gauge the situation. Like, all right, is this, let's see how he is. I haven't seen this person in a while. And it just wasn't good. I told this person, I was like, you know, I flew them in early and they got to the show. I had already set up. They came in through the door. I was like, it's not exactly how I remember this person. But we talk a lot online. Like, we had known each other in person a long time ago. So it'd been a couple of years since I'd seen this person. And so when I saw him, I was like, All right. And so this person was very, like, you have to be a little not so shy. You kind of have to be, like, happy and, like, not happy, but extroverted a little bit. And to, like, to do what we were doing, you have to be comfortable in front of people. You have to be uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable in front of just talent, in front of, you know, you have to be present, I guess. This person, not so much. And I knew that they were picking up stuff for their other business that they were working on. So they picked up quite a few autographs and stuff. So that was fine. But the comments I kept getting from people were like, who's that guy? And they weren't good comments. And so I was like, I was like, I had already, and I instinctively have this feeling in my gut sometimes. And when I saw that person in person, I knew it was never going to work. And it has nothing to do. And let me preface this by saying this has nothing to do with anyone's looks or anything. It wasn't about that. It was about how they overall presented themselves. And it just gave me a weird vibe. And I remember I was like, the questions I had been asking about their agency and what they were doing, I wasn't getting the right answers, I guess. Like every time I dig, I just never got the right answer to anything. And I'm just like, what is wrong here? And am I being made a fool? And so I remember after the event was over and we, you know, counted the money with the talent and did everything, we went out to lunch and dinner. Like, that's typically what we do after a show like that. We pack up our stuff and leave. And this was before Authentics was even around. We were working on Authentics, getting it up. But this was weird. So we went to dinner. And in the car, I actually went back I went back to ask those questions. Like, this person wanted to see a little bit of LA. They didn't want to leave. One of the things that they kept saying was, you know, I just want something where I can just travel. Like, I want to be able to travel as much as you do. And that's the thing, is the traveling aspect gets people all the time. They think that's all I do, which I kind of do, but not really. But there is work behind it for me to get there. You know, like, we have a relationship with Ryan Comic Con. Like, that doesn't happen to everybody. Like, yeah, those people that do have a relationship with them, you know, can do that. But to establish these types of things, you have to work towards them. And so, you know, they were just like, I just want to travel. I just want to do this. I want to do this. I'm like, okay, but how do you plan on doing that back where you're from? Like, how, you know? And he was like, well, you know, I want to basically learn everything you did and I want to apply it to myself, which I hate that answer. I hate that answer because it basically says, I'm going to take everything you know and run. And I'm like, no. The interns, though, I think the kids in the internship program do kind of learn a lot of what I do. They learn the mechanics of marketing, but like what I bring to the table to any business negotiation, things like that, that is moi. Like, that, I can't replicate that and I can't show you it. But what people would like to do is they want my Rolodex. They're like, oh, you have so-and-so's phone number. Hey, you have this person. And I'm very, very protective of that. And this person really wanted to come in and just, like, and like the way the co-CEO said, he's like, he just wants to be like another owner of this company. I was like, no, you can't do that. And so that was like red flag, red flag, red flag. So we made it through this dinner. I just ordered some appetizers and I was like, I'm done. Like, I after we dropped him off at the hotel, I was like, I'm done. And I was like, what do I do? How do I get rid of this person? Because this isn't going to end well. And this started out as someone that was wanting to help the company, and then now you really see true motive, and you're like, oof. And thank God at that point I didn't have any, like, he wasn't getting paid or anything, so that was good. But, you know, I feel like you're coming in here with ulterior motives. Kind of don't like it. You know, like, if you want to truly help me get some leads, help me get this, help me get that. Like, that's the way you can help build the business. But literally, you basically said out loud that you want to steal my Rolodex. You wanted to learn everything. You wanted to meet my connections. You know, you want to meet this, that. You know, and so I am very, very protective of that. And so I kind of shifted. Something occurred, and that kind of just gave me cause. And I'm like, you know what? This is a way to end it here. And I was like, we're gonna take a break here. And that break was indefinite. So it's one of those things. I think when it comes to bringing on people into your team that you know who isn't gonna sabotage you later. And I felt the mounting wave coming of sabotage. I was like, and I had to protect my brand, my company, for all it's worth, because, like, it's scary. You don't want someone to come in and be like, this is mine. No. And I'm not against sharing information. It's just the way they said it was like, I want to learn everything you know. I want to meet everyone you know. No. Even my best friend doesn't even know all the people I know. Like, a little bit, but not everybody I know. Like, so that really brought cause. So I ended up we ended up parting ways, and I don't know what they're doing now. I don't keep up. I'm doing my own thing, and I'm sure people tell people what's going on. What we do is pretty big, so you can't miss it. But yeah, I think when it comes to bringing on people to your team, you have to really set the boundaries of what they're going to be doing and what they're not going to be doing. And this person had no boundaries. This person wanted, like, their hands in everything. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. I will teach you here and there, but we're not going to do all of that now. So, yeah, that wasn't going to happen. But over the course of time, I feel, and I had this conversation with my mom last night as I was coming into town. I was after I had landed and came home. She's like, I'm helping people here, I'm helping people there. Like, I help people too much. And I'm like, she's like, I think we're stupid for trying to help all these people. And I'm like, it's good karma, but it could bite you in the butt. And that brings on to another situation I had with somebody. Again, you know, there, you know, these were, this was an internship situation. So, and the other one was a consultation situation, but thank God that person never got paid. He got paid for a flight and a hotel. That was a lot to lose. I'm just going to say that. But in this case, you know, I work with a lot of people. I work with talent. I work with all sorts of people, business owners. My Rolodex and my knowledge is quite vast and large. So, but one of the things that came up was someone else that I had known, and I had known for a while. Actually, this is a person who worked for me on a promotional team a while back. Came up to me and said, hey, you know, I would really like to intern with your company. And I said, okay. And I said, what's the situation? And they told me, hey, you know, I want to make sure, you know, I need to build something else in my life. I have a degree, but I want to learn all this marketing stuff. And I was like, okay, well, give me some good reasons why you want to do this. And this was one of those situations I thought I made the right choice and I agreed to hire this person on. But they really were fascinated with the process of how to create content, how to schedule content, how to do all this stuff, right? And so the first thing off the bat, so we have an intern meeting every week. We didn't have one yesterday because I was flying in. One of my interns showed up to the meeting and I got the notification. I'm like, yo, I canceled this. It's on your calendar, guys. What the fuck? but we'll go over that on the 15th. But anyway, we do a weekly meeting, and basically what we do here is we go over posts, we go over content, what they're struggling with, how they could help. We share screens. We really get into the nitty gritty of the things we're working on, what they can improve on, what they want to learn. And so we really go balls to the wall when it comes to learning, because when I bring on interns, I have pretty much been in touch with every university in the Southern California area. And so they know I exist. They have all of my paperwork. They know I'm legit. They know all that shit. And so, like, I have to, at the end of the semester, sometimes I do have to sign paperwork. Hey, this is the intern's name. This is what we're doing. This is what they're learning. This is how many hours I need. And then I sign it off, and then they sign it off, and then they get credit for it. So it's legitimate, you know? And in this case, I took this special case on. So I was like, all right, well, you're not in school. You're doing, you know, I think he was juggling like two jobs at that time. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, do you have time for this? Because this is what you're asking for. You want me to fairy godmother your life and change your life? I can't promise that. Like, I don't know what's going to happen here. And they were like, no, it's totally fine. This is what I want to do. So they came in with good intentions. The problem is that when the workload starts to increase, and I ask them all the time, like, hey, how's your workload? How do you feel? Is it too heavy? Do you need help with something? And all the interns are like, no, but thank you for asking if we're okay. If we do need something, can we come to you and lighten our load? I said, absolutely. You know, in this case, school comes first. In that guy's case, I was like, all right, I get you have two jobs. You know, if you need to lighten it, I'll open the door to lighten it. That's fine. So I think we were probably 3 weeks in, and this person told me during the meeting, and this is pretty embarrassing. Like, I don't want ever to have an intern tell me in front of other interns that this is stupid, but it didn't say it was stupid, but they were like, you know, this is really repetitive. What else do we do here? I was like, well, what do you mean? And they were like, you know, I got this client and I'm posting this stuff and doing this, doing that. But like, when do I get to the fun stuff? I'm like, okay, well, first of all, this is fun. Like, you do get to create content. Like, I wanted to make sure that they just weren't robots. Okay. There is some company pages that do have branded content that just shows the brand pieces. And in other cases, not so much. And in other cases, you have to build that content from scratch. We have tons of clients that say, hey, I like this, make it. And they give you no direction. They're just make something. And we're just like, okay. But in most cases, if there's some that have the cookie cutter posts, I'm like, all right, that's easy. All you gotta do is just make something up and post it and schedule it. The other stuff, you have to like really sit there and work on your content creation. And the content creation is super important. And I tell these kids all the time, I'm like, you're going to have business owners that are like, well, make it pretty. The fuck does that mean? There's this flyer that, you know, I had one of the GMs at one of my clients' business call me and says, I don't like this graphic. They want us to post it on social. I don't want to. What do we do? I said, let me make it better. Because it was like, it looked like it was made on old Microsoft clip art. I was like, no, we're not using this at all. And so I created something new and pretty. And they were like, that's better. And so, you know, you're going to have situations like that. And I told all of these kids, because they're all marketing majors, they're all going to head in the marketing field, social media field. I'm like, you have to be on your toes. and you have to learn how to design graphics quickly. And so we use a software and everyone gets access to it. I pay for their access, so they're on my team. And so they can make whatever they want on it, right? And so I didn't like the fact that this should have been a one-on-one conversation with myself. But they're like, this is just really repetitive. And I said, well, what part is repetitive? And they're like, well, I'm constantly posting for this one. I said, yes. And that's part of the job. Like, I can't fix that. That's just the way it is. You know, every day you have to make a post. That's what happens. How do you think all the other major brands out there who post more than one post a day do it? They have to do it this way. And I said, and what, you know, you're creating original content that's new and different every time. You're not creating the same piece over and over. And so it became a push-pull thing. I didn't really appreciate, especially from someone who I was giving them a chance, but had a really easy time questioning my authority, I guess. I don't know. It just didn't sit right with me. I was like, no. And so I think I spent way more time with them personally and really tried to like help them understand that even if you were to get, even if you were to get a big client somewhere or you got a social media account manager job somewhere, the job is very similar to this. And I'm giving you real life experience here. So make sure that you get it, because this is what I'm preparing you for. And they just didn't. And it got really upsetting for me. And I think at one point the straw that broke the camel's back on that one was we had holiday posts that had to go out. And this person was doing far too much. And this person didn't realize how much work this entailed. And, you know, they were like, I just want to start applying to marketing jobs. I'm like, you have 2 months experience with me. You don't even have enough to be an account coordinator at this point. You don't have enough yet. You've barely scratched the surface. This is like block one of 50 other blocks you got to go on in marketing. Like, you don't understand. There's so much more to this. You're not ready for that yet. And they're like, I just need to make a move fast. I need to learn this and take my time. And like, I need to start getting, I got to make more money. I was like, well, first of all, I told you that it's going to take you 6 months to a year with me working on these things to even look good on a resume. Even 1 year is not enough sometimes, which is why some of the interns will stay. Thank God I don't have to go and apply, go out and post job posting looking for interns, because the interns I have are amazing. They're just like, I just want to stay forever until it gets close to graduation. They're like, we can't. We have graduation stuff to do. I'm like, all right. So I don't have a set date for when they leave. They just decide when they leave, which is fine. And they're like, oh, I promise I have a friend who will love this. And I've heard from my other interns, they're like, oh man, I have a friend who hates their internship. Like, they're regretting it. I was like, well, if they want to quit, let me know. I can bring them on. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you can't have a shitty internship and have nothing to really, you know, fall back on, I guess. I don't know. So I had made the conscious decision. I'm like, all right, let's see what happens here. Cause I'm like, this started out very hopeful. And I'm like, I'm helping somebody out. Like, they're going to be okay. And now it's not. And now this is becoming a problem. And now I'm faced with a problem of, I'm probably gonna have to let this person go. But the straw that broke the camel's back was we had holiday posts for Thanksgiving. I think it was Thanksgiving last year. Maybe last year, but it came around that time. I'm like, in the last meeting, I'm like, hey guys, make sure you schedule this out. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, cool. And this person hit me up. Was like, you know, I'm busy. I got this, this, and this. And we had a conversation about time management. And I said, the thing is, and I told him, I said, I'm gonna be honest with you. I said, you wanted this opportunity. You're not time managing your time correctly. And now, because I'm of lesser value to you, you're not putting the work where you need to put the work. Like, there was a whole week that went by without postings. And I'm like, you can't do that. That's why we have schedulers. I'm like, you need, and he, and this person's like, I just can't do it. I'm like, what is stopping you? And they're like, well, I have a job. I'm like, all right. And then I'm a streamer. All right. You can't cut an hour out of your, like, an hour a day to make content and schedule. Like, and I said, this is the problem, is that you don't have time management skills here. This is where you really want me to help you change your life, but yet you can't make time for it. Then that means you're not ready for this. And he was like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, you need to make up a decision here soon. I can't stop everything I'm doing to help you figure it out. This is a grown man's decision. You need to figure it out. And soon. Just, you know, stop wasting my time. And so Thanksgiving came. All my kids did great. Everyone had happy Thanksgiving on all the clients' posts. But of course, all the accounts that this person had wasn't done. And I'm like, damn it. And so it was about 2 o'clock. I think, on Thanksgiving Day. And I was like, all right, well, you know. I don't know. I just, you know, I got really upset because it was like, all right, it's 2 o'clock on Thanksgiving. You should be fine. It was 4 o'clock. So it was about 4:30 in the afternoon. At this point, I like Thanksgiving or holiday posts first thing in the morning, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., get them out. And I was like, you know, hey, you know, where are the, you know, Thanksgiving Day posts for these people? But like, he got sassy with me. He's like, yeah, you know, you thought I was kidding when I said I was doing this. I was doing this. I didn't have time to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I literally, like, the way I was talked down to by someone I'm giving an opportunity to was gross. And I mean, I'm going back through these messages and I'm just like, you know, this, they kind of had a moment where they were looking like they were going to get better. And it just, you know, I think it was finally the point where I was like, it just got really ugly towards the end. I think when you get to a point where you're just getting berated by somebody, like, it was bad. And I'm like, you know, how dare you? Like, I really gave the lightest load to this person and they couldn't handle it. And I was getting talked to in a way that no boss should ever be talked to. And especially to someone who gave someone a fair chance to make a new change in their life. And I was just like, you know what? Like, this isn't going to work. And they got upset because I was like, you know, during our meeting, with our one-on-one meeting, not our one-on-ones, we had our intern meeting. And this is a time where it's like open forum. We can talk about, you know, what's happening. I'll go through and address progress, things like that, right? And this person, like I said, there's a whole week's worth of posts that didn't go out. And I'm like, hey, what happened here? I see that this didn't happen. What's going on? And I, you know, I didn't do it in a way that was threatening. I was just like, hey, you know, I see that I'm looking here and there's all these didn't come out. What happened? And they went off. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, all right, you and I will talk solo. And I said, okay. So I didn't stand for that. I was like, look, you know, I literally gave you every opportunity under the sun. You had the lightest load. Like, there's really nothing I can do anymore to help you, to help yourself. So I'm gonna say this is probably done. And so we walked away. However, this person has been hitting me up ever since. I've been seeing things come up on social or like text messages and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna even respond. There's no point. I was completely over it. What a fucking dick. I think as business owners, and I think because we ourselves go through a road that is very bumpy and very unknowing, and like how we got into entrepreneurship is an ugly road. Like, things happen to us, you know, things have happened to us that says, you know, we're not taking it anymore. We're going to work for ourselves. So we've seen the ugly. And I think what entrepreneurs want is to make sure that no one else has to see the ugly, and that they want to help other people create the opportunities that they didn't get. And I'm, you know, I sit back and think back, like, I really hope I'm giving these interns everything that they need, because I don't want them to fail. I feel like I have a personal responsibility to make sure all these interns leave my nest and go and create amazing things for themselves, because what's the point, you know? And so for me, I care deeply about what they do, how they do it, where they're going. Like, it I really care. And so for someone to like really just mismanage that entire situation, they ruined it for themselves. I don't know what this person's doing now. I don't know if anything got better for them. I have no clue. But I hope it went better. I hope it did. But I don't know. I don't know. And so I kind of just, I wish everyone the best and we move along. And my last example of knowing how to hire people, I've had, and again, I've said this has been hit and miss. You know, I have done things from my heart thinking I can help you. And then I've made a mistake of just bringing in the wrong person. And this is a really great story of how I did this the right way this time. So one of the things that, when I look for interns, I want them, I have a full detailed intern job description. And I tell people, look, this is what you're looking at. This is what you're going to be doing. And the description is very long. And it's also on the MDMC website if you want to look at it. I think it's fantastic. It's pretty solid. And the interns, I had a dumbass apply for the internship. I asked that, you know, got them into the deal. I'm like, all right, tell me a little bit about yourself. What's going on with you? And then I'm like, all right, why did you want to work with MDMC? Have you looked into us? Like, have you, you know, done some research on us and what we do? This person's like, no, I just took the interview. That is the worst thing to say in an interview. You basically just took whatever was given to you. Like, that tells me, and again, I don't know what it is I don't want to say that. I just don't know what it is with certain people that are very lazy in that sense. They just expect stuff to be given to them. And I'm just like, I ended that interview very quickly. Usually my interviews last anywhere between 30 minutes to an hour. That one was 15 minutes. I was like, nope. And I said, you know, I think one of the things after I think he said that, I was like, so you've done no research on us, you know, like, and I said, so then how do you know you took this interview, you scheduled it? How do you know what I have for you is going to be for you? How do you like, and he's like, well, I don't know. I was wanting you to tell me. No. You have to do some research before. You have to have people that you interview, you know, tell you why they want the job, why they want to be here, what are they going to get out of it? Like, what do they hope to get out of it? It just blows my mind. I'm like, you just took the first one that answered you? Like, really? What? That's insane. And I was like, no. I said, the next time you do, and I told him, I was like, look, I'm not hiring you, but the next time you do an interview with somebody, you make sure that you research the fuck out of that company before you step into the interview room. We're done. Out. Mm-mm. We're not doing that today. So, but I did have an intern come through, and I typically like to keep the intern still undergrad, just because I want them to get this experience before they graduate, because I want them to go into the workforce guns a-blazing. They have experience, right? Pow, pow. That's what I want. And my former intern, she was with me for about 4 months. She was fantastic. So she hit me up through LinkedIn because that's where I post all my job openings. And I'm like, hey, you know, I posted this thing on here, and it does have the two required questions. Like, one, are you an undergrad student? And two, are you local? So she answered one of the two right. And it said, you know, immediately, if you can't answer the two, it tells you, thank you for applying. This is not a good fit. And so she got that message, and she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. She went to my personal LinkedIn account because it's linked. Obviously, I'm the poster, so you can contact me directly. And she's like, hi, I just applied to your job, and I didn't answer the one of the questions correctly, or I mean, I was truthful about it, but I didn't answer it the way you wanted the answer. And now it told me I'm got kicked out of this. I was wanting to see if I can possibly talk to you about this job. And I said, okay, what's going on? I mean, thank you so much. I looked over her resume. I saw that she was just a graduate. And she was like, oh, so what's the deal about you not hiring people that have graduated? And I said, look, typically my internship program is designed for kids that are in the process of graduating. So I want them to go into the world with experience in their hands. And so typically I don't like to hire them after the fact because, you know, after the fact, they are looking for something that's going to be more permanent. And at this time, I cannot offer a permanent situation here. So I kind of just leave it as an undergraduate position, and I kind of cap it at graduation, just because I know for the sake of the school, I can compensate with credits. And so she was like, but I need an internship. I was like, okay, well, what happened? Like, you were in college this whole time. How come you didn't get an internship? And she said, look, I was at another city. It didn't have anything along the lines of what I want to do. And I saw that this one's remote. It has everything I want to do. Is there any way that you could reconsider your status on that? I was like, well, I said, so what do you want to do? And so we had a one-on-one heart-to-heart conversation, and I was already made up. I was actually going to hire one of the girls who's working with me now. And I held off on hiring her, and I took this one on because I was like, It was one of those decisions I made of who needs it more, the girl that just graduated, the girl that's still in school, and she's a junior. This one's a junior. This one needs help now. And it's kind of like me with the last person. I'm trying to save them before they go out into the real world and they have experience. And I'm just like, all right. I said, let's make it work. And so I'm thinking, oh God, I already had the one first bad experience. I had this horrible experience with this other person. And now I'm trying to save another. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Because she did all the right things. You know, she saw a wall go up. And the first thing she did was she emailed me. And it showed desire to learn. It showed passion to do it. And I'm like, okay, I've seen this before. And I think one of the reasons why one of my other interns that I put off from hiring, she did the initiative. She actually emailed me back after we did our interview. She said, thank you so much. I enjoyed talking to you. I hope I hear from you. And we kept in touch. I'm like, look, I'm going to have to hold off hiring you now, but I want you for the fall. Will you be okay with that? And she was like, yeah, sure. That's great. And I was like, perfect. So I committed to hiring her. I said, I just need a little bit of time to bring you on. And she was perfectly fine with it. I took on the graduate. We'll call her the graduate. And she killed it. She was so good. Like, I miss you. I mean, you know who you are. But I miss you. She went above and beyond. I was just, I'm like, she nailed it. Everything I gave her, she didn't complain. None of my interns complained. I only had that one person complain. She loved everything I gave her. She was proactive in everything that I gave her. I gave her access to all my stuff. She did everything I requested with no complaint. And then on top of that, she was learning new skills on top of that. Like, I told her, I'm like, I'm going to fast track you. You're going to have to learn this. And they're like, okay, cool. And so they learned it. And then I learned a couple meetings, maybe like 3 months in. She's like, hey, you know, the place I'm working at right now needs social media help. I'm going to help them. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. And then she's like, I got another person that wants this. And I got another person that wants that. And I was like, oh my God, you may just skip the workforce altogether and become an entrepreneur. You're going to end up being MDMC's competition. And she's like, I know, right? I'm like, that's amazing. I'm so happy for you. Do it. Do it. Go do it. And so I don't know where she is now. I hope she's okay. Now I'm going to have to reach out to her. But she was with me for a good 4 months, and she did fantastic work for me. And it was that one thing that I'm just like, you know what? I made a good decision that day. And so I don't have the right recipe of hiring the right people for your business. I just gave you three really good examples of how I fucked up on that. The third one was my victory story. But we hire people because we want to make sure they can bring a skill to the table, can help us get our business further, and also are willing and able and wanting to. You know, this isn't for everybody. And, you know, there is, and I know there's way more small business owners out there that know the story of, have probably better stories to tell than I do. But these are the three I've experienced in the 3 years I've been in business. And I've had one for every year that I've been in. This is a trend. The first year in, the second year in, and now the third year in, which is nuts. I think it's crazy. So, I mean, and even my interns now, like the way, and I usually have a good batch of kids that come through. And I think it was the batch that I did in May. I haven't put a post listing up since May, I believe. And these kids have just kind of stayed in. Of course, I brought in my other one. And then my interns are bringing in other people. And those people, like, are just as good. They're like, oh, you know, I did an interview with the one that's going to be jumping on here soon. And she did the whole interview with me. She was she had all the right answers to all the questions I had. And I said, yep, I think this will work. And, you know, I'm like, well, let's stay in touch and let's see what happens. And she emailed me right away. Thank you so much for your time. I enjoyed listening to you, talking to you, hearing about your business, your story. One that trips me up, speaking about my 4-year anniversary today, the one thing that does trip me up is people do actually read the about section. And I did write about what happened on this day. And basically, you know, I was let go from a job. I had given everything I could to this position, literally from nothing to something, you know, and I was able to generate some revenue. I did really good work. I actually, and the sad thing is that day I thought I was actually getting promoted. Just there's some things that were happening internally. I was like, oh, that means I could get I'm going to probably move up my job. Like, I had just started hearing things. I'm like, maybe that's what's happening. And I was like, yes, I'm probably getting promoted. And then that wasn't the case. They let me go. And it was so out of left field. So not with cause. It was so cutthroat, you know. And I think what killed me at that particular time, and I can still feel the sadness from that, I had worked with these people for several years. I won't say how many precisely, but several years. I knew these people several years. As I was packing up and leaving, because my office, I had bookshelves, I had a full desk, I had stuff on the walls. I had, like, I lived in my office. Like, it was my workspace. And I had to get everything off the walls, like, you know. And I think the thing that got me was no one came out and said, hey, you know, we're sorry. Thank you for everything you did. You know, when you leave a place, like when you leave a position, a job somewhere, you typically, someone throws you a party. And they're like, I remember seeing so many people that went off and got a new opportunity and got a big party. I think the only time I did that was when I worked at the Roswell School District. I actually did have a party that was given to me because I was moving on to another section of the department. So that happened. But what made me really sad on this particular day 4 years ago was that for everything that I did, for everything that I put in, I got no acknowledgement, no thank you, no sorry, no nothing. I felt like fucking trash. Here's your boxes. And sadly, for whatever reason, that day, there wasn't a lot of salespeople there. I went and saw, I said bye to one. I said one to bye to somebody else. And then, of course, the chick in the front, who right now is a bitch to me, dead to me. And then another person I still talk to that was there. But I had to turn in my keys. It took me a long time. Like, I had food in the fridge, like stuff in the freezer, because I was meal prepping. That experience killed me in my heart, because I was like, is there no decency in this world? Because it was done with no cause. It was just out of left field. There was no reason for it, you know. And I go back and I think during that time that I was going through it, I was like, if there were problems, why didn't someone tell me, hey, you're not going to be able to have a job here soon. We're going to give you 3 months to find a job, get on your feet so that you can leave. You know, had they given me a grace period, how do you do that to somebody? And it was right before the holidays. I remember freaking out. I'm like, it's about the holidays. And like, I'm not going to do anything for the holidays. How am I going to do anything? It was scary. It was sad. And, you know, I think because of that experience, I wrote that in the about section. I'm like, you know, I got no cake. I got no flowers. I got nothing. They just treated me like shit and I got kicked out. I will never have the answers to that situation, nor do I want them at this point. I've kind of given up on it. I don't care. It's over and done with. But that situation is written in my about section. And I talk about it with the interns. And I give them a warning. I'm like, here's what you need to know when you start working with people in the corporate world. This is what you need to look out for. This is what you need to look and see. This is how you show up to a job interview. This is how you land the job. They get all of that information. But the interns that interview with me read the about section. And I think the one that touches me the most is, holy crap, I love your story. You have gone through it. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I want to work with you. I need to work with you. Please hire me. And I'm just like, yikes. I didn't think I could touch people like that. You know, bad things happen to people. And my story is probably the most ultimate underdog story ever. And shit happens. Bad shit happens sometimes. And at the end of the day, you need to kick ass, get up, and fight back. Fight with all your heart. And that's where I decided to take my side hustle and turn it into something that could live for a lifetime. If I could make other people millions and millions of dollars, who says I can't do that for myself? And on top of that, get treated nicely. And so every time I go through this process of hiring people, I want to make sure that they don't have a negative experience. And I want to make sure that I can give them everything I possibly can so they don't feel what I felt. And an extra 10 points if you read the About Us and you interview with me, because that alone, it shows that you actually give a shit about who you're interviewing with and what you're about to step into. So when you go through the next interview process, when you're hiring somebody, please do it with heart. Do it with your brain. Make sure that they're bringing something to the table that you can work with. Don't be cold about it. Don't be a douche about it. Have a heart and really listen to people's stories. It's very quick to dismiss somebody. It's very easy to just say no based on whatever it is that you're basing it, your decision on. And do it with compassion. Do it with skill. And at the end of the day, make a team that wants to come and work for you. And I'm very, very fortunate that I have a team that does that. And they come to work every day and nothing breaks. I don't have clients complaining that their stuff's broken. So thank you to my interns who, and the other team members of my team that take this logo seriously. So I hope this helps whoever's listening. I hope that you get something out of it. And I hope I see you in the next episode. Until then, talk to you later.